Does it feel odd to sing Christmas carols now?
I did this on purpose. I'm sorry. Ho, ho, ho.
Hum.
I sense anxiety of the holidays to come. Holidays, D-A-Z-E. That time of never-ending to-do lists, a lack of parking, and the three Ds, demanding, disappointment, and denial.
Have you ever experienced that commercial days when entering the mall around this time of year? I'm not sure if it comes from the canned air, the smell of intensely scented candles, or the mass of people all in zombie-like state of price tag disbelief. Add to this the concern, or what some may consider fear, of the upcoming familial onslaught. Sorry for all those parents here. We have decided to face it straight on this year. Chris Scheller and I were talking about the traditions of the holidays last week and how we both feel like they have gone astray. They veered off the track a bit, and that is with the help of the retail holiday marketing machine. So we had a plan. We decided to attack early before they got to us. That's why we're singing Christmas carols mid-November. Please do not get me wrong. I love midwinter. I love Yule. I love Christmas, even though I'm not a Christian. What gets to me, however, is that I take it personally when the holidays are foisted upon me before Thanksgiving. So this morning, as the world shudders in the wake of violence, we are going to try to remember what is most important in life. That is why we are embracing the carols too soon. I am ho, ho, hoing far too soon. And we are all talking about the big C, Christmas, a couple of weeks too soon. For me, seeing Santa at the end of the Macy's Thanksgiving parade is a time-honored tradition that gives a nod to the retailers. Okay, it's time, you can start now. Imagine my surprise this summer, dressed in shorts and a t-shirt, when I walked into BJ's Wholesaler and there was this whole display of Christmas trees, ornaments, and lights. I literally screamed out, "Oh no, you don't! This should be against the law." I literally felt the sense of revulsion and heard my inner voice plead with me, saying, "Please tell me there was an overstock from last year." Somewhere deep inside, I feel emotionally manipulated when I drive by the Christmas tree shop in June and the parking lot is full. I just can't go in there on principle alone. I can't shop for Christmas that time of year. Now, I want to honor those of you who shop all year round for the holidays. You have tenacity and a commitment to bringing joy to the world. This is how I feel about it. My best friend shops in January and February and March and April and May and June and July and August, September, October, and doesn't shop in November and December. That's impressive. However, there's something special to me about that Christmas Eve shopping panic that I personally resonate with. Oh my God, I gotta get to the store. I will be the first one to admit that I'm thrilled on Thanksgiving with the transition from fall to winter, and I look forward to the festivities of the holiday season. I love the simple things. I love the greens and the smell of pine, the card writing and the mistletoe. I love the small, intimate gifts exchanged, and I am wary of that make-believe good behavior offered out of fear that the gift of coal might be in one's future. I am the only one that thinks this, am I not? Somewhere along the line, I think we've strayed from what is most important. I mean, when did Black Friday become a thing? It like creeped up on me. And it does every year, earlier and earlier. The retailers endeavor to wrangle my emotions and wrangle my thoughts and my reason and absolutely wrangle my wallet. So when did Black Friday begin? It actually came into being in 1961 in Philadelphia. This shopping extravaganza has made its way across the country in 2000 and has routinely been the busiest shopping day of the year, so touted since 2005. Although that is not necessarily the truth. Similar stories resurface year upon year at this time, portraying hysteria and a shortage of stock on the favorite gift, creating a state of high demand for particular items. The name Black Friday comes from retailers who traditionally operate at a financial loss in the red from January through November until Black Friday. Indicates a point at which retailers began to turn a profit or to be in the black. Bodily harm has literally happened on Black Friday in the name of top toy sales of the season. You may, and I've done this for all of us, you may recognize some of these great favorites over the years, such as, well, maybe some of us won't, the Shirley Temple doll in 1934, Chatty Cathy in 1960. Raise your hand if you remember these. G.I. Joe in 1964. Star Wars action figures in 1977. How about Cabbage Patch Kids? Right? They're not going to be enough! 1983. Transformers in 1984. Teddy Ruxpin in 1985. How about Tickle Me Elmo? 1996. Beanie Babies, right? Couldn't get them. 1996. How about Furby? I thought it was a vacuum cleaner, right? 1998, Nintendo Wii. 2006, Zuzu Pets. Never even heard of those. 2009. Okay, this year, get ready with your phones because you're going to want to shop now. I'm actually kidding about that. Don't do it. Two of the top 10 toys are Clever Keat. Has anybody heard of this toy? A smart and interactive parakeet-like bird that you can teach to talk, and it follows you around and plays with you. And then All Day Elmo, still Elmo's in the running. I kind of am excited about that. A talking Sesame Street pal who can actually play games with your child. So you don't have to. Maybe? I don't know. I yearn for simpler times. I love to listen to my mother's stories about the holidays. In her household of 13, 11 children, when an orange was considered a really good gift. Movies were a dime. Groceries for a week for a family of 13, $10. I often wonder, could we be happy with a movie and an orange on Christmas? Gift giving has gotten slightly out of control, and one has to wonder how and when it all got started. Any guesses? I know I did the same thing. I was like, when was it? How about 200 BCE? With the advent of the Roman festival Saturnalia, which begins December 17th and extends until the 23rd. This was a feast in honor of the deity Saturn, who reigned over agriculture during what was considered the golden age of humankind. Saturnalia is a festival of light leading to winter solstice, with the abundant presence of candles symbolizing the quest for knowledge and truth. The interesting thing about Saturnalia is that the feast was characterized by role reversals and behavioral license. Slaves were treated to a banquet of the kind usually enjoyed only by their masters. Ancient sources differ on the circumstances. Some suggest that masters and slaves dined together, while others indicated that slaves feasted first, and that even the masters actually served the food. Because gifts of value would mark social status, which was something they were trying to avoid and was against the spirit of the season, there were pottery figurines and wax figurines made especially for the day, candles or gag gifts, and children, only children, received toys. Other festivals alike during this time of year are Yule, which was the precursor to Christmas, and which we celebrate here at First Parish on the solstice. The Hindi celebration of Diwali, which is the biggest and brightest festival in India. It spiritually signifies the victory of light over darkness, knowledge over ignorance, good over evil, and hope over despair. And the menorah light is a celebration of the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah, which celebrates the re-commemoration of the second holy temple in Jerusalem and the miracle of inexhaustive lamp oil. Each of these festivals is celebrated with the lighting of candles or a Yule log to burn over a period of the darkest nights, closest to the solstice. And of course, the sharing of simple gifts, mostly fruits, handcrafted gifts, candles, what I love, Hanukkah gelt, which can be in the shape of money or chocolate coins that are used to play the dreidel game. Dreidel, dear. But there is nothing in my life like a traditional Christmas, even though I'm not Christian. My best friend who's Jewish has a Christmas tree. We all participate in the glory of the season. But when I think of Christmas, I think of this kind of grand, Hallmarkian, Victorian, Martha Stewartish Christmas. You know what I'm saying, right? These traditions began in the early 1800s, a week before Christmas. A week before Christmas. All of the family took great pleasure in trimming the Christmas tree. It was a family affair, which was usually a fir. It was then planted in the middle of this great round table and towered high above. Wrapped around the tree was a garland of popcorn. You got to wonder how much popcorn actually got on the tree. But also, there was other things like candies and cakes hung with ribbons. On the branches were candles and imitation and real fruits. There was rosy-cheeked dolls hiding behind green leaves. Perched among the boughs, there was these jolly, broad-faced little men, much more agreeable, and no wonder, their heads actually came off and showed them to be full of sugar plums. There were tambourines and paint boxes, sweetmeat boxes, and a motley collection of odd objects like dolls and musical instruments and scores of real candies. Stockings were hung by the chimney with care. Then there was caroling and church going on Christmas Eve, breakfast and more church going and caroling on Christmas morning. And then a massive meal was served Christmas afternoon. And only after the pumpkin pie would everyone gather around the tree to pass out the gifts. It was with the advent of the Industrial Revolution that everything changed. Instead of candies, fruits, and homemade gifts, expensive store-purchased gifts became the norm, and this tradition has stuck. In the Victorian age, children did not request special gifts from Santa, but instead got small treats in their stockings if they were good. We have gone from a fairly personal celebration of the holidays to, well, how can I put this delicately, towards what seems to be utter chaos, somewhat lacking in deeper meaning. Okay, wait. That might be a little strong. There are moments of sanity and special sharing. And those are the things, those are the moments that I want us to focus on. What are those moments that are special? And my guess, it has nothing to do with the gift giving. I read in the Washington Post an article that focused on Christians specifically, but I thought beyond that, and I thought it was important for us all to get, instead of swept up into the retail fervor, to consider this instead. The article begins by accepting that we are a consumerist society. Is there anybody that would doubt that? We are, that's the first step, right, is to admit that we've got a consumerist problem. Black Friday is essentially our version of a religious pilgrimage. We worship in the megastores, make schedules around holiday deals, display allegiance to brands and low prices, offer tithes to the cashiers. Masses of people swarm the stores with hype and fervor, but where's the meaning, the deep meaning? We know we're placating the retail gods. which is why we need to pull back from the biggest shopping day of the year. Retail products occupy too much space in our homes and in our hearts. By resisting the impulse to shop for deals on Black Friday, we stand at the feet of the retail titans, and with the power of non-cooperation, we challenge the injustices of poor labor conditions, exploiting hiring practices, unfair monopolies, and irresponsible resource extraction. We resist Black Friday because they want to build community. We want to build community. By giving gifts that are handmade, home-baked, bartered among friends, or obtained from locally owned fair trade retailers. It's going to take more work, but it's worth the effort. The seven reasons to resist what the holidays have become: finding inner peace, celebrating non-material joy, practicing social justice, teaching children different values, incarnating love, and embracing voluntary simplicity in solidarity with those who have far less. Love, love, love. There's so many different ways that we can enjoy stepping back and rethinking the holidays this midwinter. Consider this a holidays wake-up call. A gentle reminder that we can opt out of the days part that is so easy to be drawn into this time of year. Chris and I are really impassioned by trying to change what Christmas has become into something different. And I'm not even just saying Christmas, but the holidays in general. So please join us, Chris and I, in the library after worship, where we would like to share our stories about our favorite holiday traditions, brainstorm, think about a different way of doing it, talk about how we can cultivate some sanity into the season to come. And I ask us, as we look at the world around us on a daily basis, we can see that there's great need. We can see that there's sadness and brokenheartedness. This is our opportunity as Unitarian Universalists to heal the broken, to embrace intolerance with love, so that we can change the world for the better. Let us enter into this time of midwinter, expectant waiting, with joy, with hope, and with peace.